This week's episode of the FitCast is brought to you by BlackStarLabs.com, home of the best-tasting protein powder out there. Check them out at BlackStarLabs.com, and don't forget to mention the FitCast when you place your order. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 163. I'm Kevin Larrabee. And first off, with me this week is the doctor himself, Jonathan Fass, CSCS, WPA, MOSC, OPP, MOD.
Yeah, you know me.
What up, John?
That was a very energetic opening to the show.
You know what? I've had half a liter of green tea since we did the off-topic, wow. So it's starting to kick in.
You know, I never know what to think when you get high off of green tea.
Well, it's also that, and I had some food last night. I ate food.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, man. And we also have, if you can hear that, that's Tony Gentilgore on the other line.
Who's not a doctor, unfortunately.
No.
But he plays one on the podcast.
And when he tries to pick up women.
Oh man,
Dr. Gentle.
I could just see Tony going into like a bar or like a club wearing a doctor's coat. Just
yeah,
being like, yeah, I just came from saving someone's life. Get me a drink.
Stat.
That'd be perfect. We have a great show for you this week. No Lee Peel. Leppel herself could not make it to the show.
But that's not why it's great.
No, she's busy answering phones, if you know what I'm saying.
Just pick up.
Tony, did you hear that?
What?
Oh, Tony hasn't heard it.
I'm out of the loop, so you guys probably have so many inside jokes now that I'm going to be like completely gone. I have no idea.
About the dump truck. Remember, John?
Yeah, that was good.
Okay. Well, anyways, no Lee Peel this week, but we're going to make up for it with Coach Dos Remedios. We did about a 60-minute interview on his new book, Cardio Strength Training, which is awesome. The book's like $13. I'm sure many of you have picked it up already, but if you want to kind of not necessarily, I don't want to make it sound like spice up your workout. That sounds like I'm trying to sell you a grill or like a blender, but I want you to definitely check it out. And I was doing some of the stuff from it yesterday when I was at CP seeing the guys. So definitely give it a look, give it a listen. It will be coming up very shortly after we go through a couple mailbag questions.
It'll change your life. You hear me? Change your life.
No, and we talked about a lot of things in that interview. We also hit on the Biggest Loser stuff a little bit.
Oh yeah,
because now they have like the biggest contestant ever, or something like that. So
it's
probably
like over 500 pounds, right?
Yeah, he's probably going to die this year.
I think I overheard somebody saying, like, I think Pete watched the episode and he said the guy lost 30 pounds in 1 week.
No, well, I mean, he was.
Obviously, he has a lot to lose. I'm just saying, like, he has to be huge. I mean, it's like they said he's like 530 pounds or something like that.
Yeah, but you know, you got to think about how much water that dude's holding on
to. Oh,
absolutely.
But it's just, I can't, yeah. I've never watched an episode of that show, but.
Yeah. Again, that's coming up. We hit on a ton of stuff. We even talk about USA versus England, the upcoming matchup that is bound to be epic in proportions, divide nations, and cause World War III. John, you never got back to me on this, but we've been getting some emails about people who want to be a part of like a FitCast accountability.
I didn't. That's right. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I have the guidelines that we're going to use drawn up, and I'm going to make a post on the website later this week. It's probably going to be on, I'm guessing, Tuesday or Wednesday. But I want you guys to keep a lookout for that if you're interested in that. We have some guidelines. I think we're only going to take like 5 or 8 people.
I think one of my clients is interested in that, Kevin.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's something that it's just like a little extra motivation or accountability, whatever you want to call it. So we will have the details for you on that, and we'll probably talk about it a little bit more next week, but you'll be able to start submitting your request, or I kind of have some requirements for the setup, but I want you to just keep a lookout for that. Next, I had two blog posts up on the website this week. I've actually been like writing a lot, surprisingly. That's one of my, it's not one of my resolutions, but it's one of the things I'm trying to do a little bit more, unlike Jonathan Fass, who he was in class all day, and not in class, but you're learning stuff all day.
I'm dying all day.
Can you get what, 3 hours of sleep now, John?
Oh, please, I don't have time for that.
I don't sleep. Sleep?
That's for the bourgeoisie.
Okay.
That was a little historical economics for you, pal.
So anyways, I totally copied what everyone else has done and posted what I learned in 2009. Split it up into two parts so there's even more content. Part three will probably be up on, I don't know, Tuesday or Thursday. It depends which one I decide to put the accountability stuff on, but we try to spread it out a little bit. A little bit more reason to go back to thefitcast.com, check out what we're posting on there. And I think there's a lot of stuff. There's some good responses, especially about the hip mobility videos and the circuits and things of that nature. Also, one thing I want to bring up again that I mentioned on there is that we really need to get as many people as possible to just check out the LiftStrong stuff. One of the things I want to bring up is that Bob Young's that we talked about with Dave Tate a while back, he's actually recovering, and it looks like he has beaten the cancer that he was fighting. So that is fantastic news, and it's just one more reason why we should continue to support things like LiftStrong, or whether you just want to go Leukemia Lymphoma Society, whether it be breast cancer awareness, things like that. All those things are fantastic, and if you can, I know for everyone times are tough, but $5-$10 here or there, I'm sure everyone can sacrifice that. And I would rather, instead of you sending it to us in the donate button, send it to one of those causes. I'm actually pretty much at that point where I want to take down that donate button and just put something there that says, yeah, here's three links to places that could use the money a lot more. Next thing is more blog content. I've wrote up a couple blogs on the best of the FitCast post, because we talked about this last week where people wanted to it was like for new listeners who want to just get to the best of the best first. I wrote one up just on the best of fat loss, which hits on I think like 12 or 15 episodes, which covers a bunch of different people. But you will see that next week. And next, we'll get through this real quickly. I think we're going to make some FitCast sweatshirts.
That's kind of cool.
So I want to
make some FitCast Scullies.
Oh.
Actually, we're looking for compression shorts too, but I don't know what we're going to do. The sweatshirts that we're going to have made would cost about $30 if I included shipping.
A FitCast leg warmers for Tony when he plays the Wii Fitness.
Mm, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, or the long gloves that go up to your elbow with the fingers.
Oh, those are nice.
I want to see what the interest is in this. If we get them made, I'll probably get like 20 made for the first order. Because they do kind of cost a little bit more than a t-shirt. But if people are interested in buying them, please let me know in the comment section. We do look at every comment that is posted on the website. So if you have something to share, whether it be about this or anything, please, please, please post in the comment section. Let me know. Again, I'm going to say the rough price. I don't know exactly what the price they can give us, but I'm going to say $30. It's probably what it's going to be for me to get it to if you're in the United States, and probably like 35 or 40 if you're outside the United States, because the post office really, it's mostly the size, not the weight, that they kill you on. And obviously it's a little bit more puffy. And for people who are waiting on t-shirts, the reason why this is up is that I actually just ordered. I just got another box of 50 t-shirts, so those will be coming out now. We completely ran out of larges and mediums. So we.
Do you have any smediums?
No, but we might have some baby smalls.
What about smarges?
Next up, that Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning Seminar is going to be coming up on the, I want to say the 30th. Should probably have that written down right in front of me. Pulling up right now. Yeah, it's on January 30th, and I just talked to Mike this past week, but they're extending the early bird registration until the 19th, January 19th. So it's $125 if you want to go there. It's going to be in Winchester, Massachusetts, with the speakers being Eric Cressy, John Paloff, who's going to be talking about training the shoulder mobility to stability, Brijesh Patel talking, it's not all about sets and reps, and for John and Tony, who came last year, as well as myself, the Brijesh has talked in the past a lot about team chemistry and camaraderie, and how you can get results like by doing circuits where, you know, okay, you know, you're not like calculating precise amounts of volume, but you're seeing how hard you can push these kids and how hard they can push each other sometimes, and getting great results that way. You'll have some kids who, you know, who could not even give a crap to be there, who will work a lot harder if, you know, they have that camaraderie, they have that competition, because that's where they like, you know, they play a sport to compete. What's that, Tony?
I said absolutely. I remember that was one of the main points I brought from last year when we talked, because his whole presentation was on training basketball players, but at the tail end he talked about, you know, like the last 10, 15 minutes, just having some team building where you just see max reps this or time for that. It might not look pretty, but it's
well, put difficult. Think about it this way, like Anthony, who is one of the strength coaches at Boyle's, he has this group of this high school football group. And they're on the same team together, to finish it, he did it was a contest. It was right before the conditioning, who can hold a plank the longest.
Mm-hmm.
Someone held a plank for 4 minutes and 30 seconds, and like the, you know, to the point where these guys are like shaking before they're going to drop to the knees, like something like this, where, you know, it's a pretty safe thing to do. You're not going to get. It's not like. How many box jumps can you do, or something like that, or how many push presses can you do before you blow out your shoulder? You know, it's something where you know, you really get everyone to push each other, and you know, then one kid doesn't have to do as much conditioning. It's it's really cool. But that that will be going on, and also Mike will be talking about ACL injury prevention. And Eric, believe it or not, if you've ever seen the wall at Crest Performance, we'll be talking about med ball meat and potatoes.
Ah, I didn't even know what he was talking about. I'm with the kid every day. I didn't even know. I was just about to ask him what he was going to talk about.
I could have just thrown something completely random in there. I could have been talking about the evolution of the Transformers mythology.
That would have been awesome. I'd be there for that.
That would have been awesome.
All right, that is it. I'll post a link for it up on the website and I get to it. But if you just go to bodybubble.com, you can sign up. And I think, like Mike said a couple weeks ago on the podcast, yeah, you might actually get to meet me. So
it's big time.
It's big time. I might actually shower before the.
What a treat.
I try to do something a little bit extra.
Treat for everybody.
For these occasions.
Throw on your Old Spice and
I do use Old Spice, yeah. Old Spice. But sometimes I also use the Irish Spring soap, and I feel like they sometimes conflict with each other. I think it's sometimes a fight to the
It's too much stuff. Too much awesome for one man to handle.
It's too much brute. Too much brute. Alright, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back with the mailbag, then we're gonna talk to Deuce. All right, folks, here it is, the mailbag for this week. We get a question that we couldn't get to last week, but we're going to get to it this week. It's for you, Dr. Fass.
Oh, God.
From Rob, from Baffled, he's a baffled recovering engineer. That's not where he's from. Whoops. All right, to the FitCast crew, love the show. Please do keep up the good work. And Kevin, the video of Lee's gift to you is priceless. Tony did not know, but it's the off-topic for discussion. I believe this question should go to Dr. Fass, but any advice would be appreciated. Here's what happened in the gym doing Bulgarian split squats or rear foot elevated split squats. A few weeks ago, I started with my left foot forward with no trouble, but when I switched to put my left foot on the bench behind me, I felt a pull in the back of my ankle slash Achilles tendon area. I stopped and went over to the stairs to stretch out my calf, but didn't feel any discomfort, no matter how far I stretched. I went back to doing these Bulgarians and felt the same, quote, pull when my left foot was on the bench. Since then, I've noticed the pulling sensation only when my toes are pointed. In engineering school, they told us you can't push on a rope. So I'm a bit baffled what might be going on. If I have the mechanics right, my heel bone is pushing the Achilles tendon upward. So why would I feel a pull? I have no issues walking or stretching my calf out, but when I point my toes, which doesn't make any sense since that shouldn't stretch my Achilles tendon, right? It's not debilitating, but I don't want to turn this into something worse. So any thoughts would be greatly appreciated. For background, I am 6 feet, 190 pounds, 42 years old. I don't recall any injury or even aches in the area before this. Rob.
Well,
this is... Got some plantar flexion stuff going on there.
Yeah, a little plantar flexion. This is one of... I mean... To really tell you what exactly is going on would be difficult without seeing you and being able to investigate what's happening there. But we can kind of at least talk general about what could be. And I think the problem begins with the actual ability to analyze what's happening. So this is where we kind of talk about differences. And I think every one of us has written about the idea of a short muscle versus a stiffened muscle, which both will present like it's tight, quote unquote. Tightness is a description. So we don't, it just tells you what you're feeling. It doesn't actually say, though, what is causing that feeling of tightness. And I think the same may be coming, be occurring here. It's because you're right. Push on a rope, quote unquote, and that's absolutely true. But if the muscle has been stiffened, it's neuromuscularly activated and it won't relax itself, then you could be feeling a pulling sensation, you could be feeling a tight sensation, any number of descriptors, and it doesn't actually tell you what is really going on. That's the only thing that would really make sense to me just based on the description. There could be a lot more going on there, but it sounds to me like one or two of the muscles that can be involved in plantar flexion when the toes are pointed may have actually been aggravated a little bit for whatever reason and won't relax now. The one thing that does stand out is the fact that you're saying when you stretch it, you can't really feel any discomfort. So that would be kind of like an outlier description there. You would expect that there would be some kind of discomfort, but there's not. So I would suggest trying foam rolling, seeing if you can just get rid of the problem that way. And if you can't, then go and see someone and see if you can get one or two visits with a physical therapist or something, a manually trained physical therapist, and see if you can get some strategies to calm that down. I mean, it wouldn't sound like something that's really important in the sense of like danger or whatever, but you don't know till you get it looked at properly.
Very good. Nice quick response, surprisingly, from John Fass.
Hey, I try.
Next question is from Young, I think. That sounds about right. Hey, Kevin, I have a question about lifting in the gym during 1 hour lunch breaks at work. Many of you guys around the office practice this for efficiency, so I decided to try it out for the day. I typically lift for roughly 1.5 hours specifically for strength training following the work day. I ended up sacrificing half of my routine so I can rinse off and head back on time. It's in the best interest to work out during lunch to save time, but I'm pretty stubborn about my workout schedule. Is there a logical way to squeeze out one and a half an hour workout into 45 minutes without giving up critical parts of my routine, or am I biting off more than I can chew? Your advice is very much appreciated, and I'm a big supporter of the show. Best regards from Chicago, Young. So, Tony, I say we go, you know, old WWE on this and tag team it.
All right, go ahead, man. I'll follow you.
All right, cool. First thing, I think Tony and I will both talk about this, and, you know, I don't see why there's any reason, unless you're training for something specifically, why you should be shouldn't be in and out within 60 minutes. If you're talking about cutting it down to 45 minutes, let's put it this way. Probably going to take you about 5 minutes to foam roll, 5 minutes to do some kind of a dynamic warm-up, and then that leaves you, depending, you know, if you're not sitting around chatting with people or fooling around with your iPod trying to find a song, that gives you 35 minutes to get done what you need to get done.
Look, dude, I don't know what you're talking about, because you better be in the gym for at least an hour, because the situation's in the gym for at least an hour and a half.
Situation? Oh, we didn't even talk about in the off-topic that I've watched all three of the episodes that are on demand.
Oh, I've only caught an episode and a half, and I was literally borderline mentally retarded by the time I got done watching one episode.
Absolutely.
Oh, God. But anyways, if you don't need to look like the situation, or if you're not doing 45 minutes of ab work and then 45 minutes of bicep work, mm-hmm. You should be able to get in and out. And the way that I would set it up is I would throw in, I'm guessing you're going to be, this is even better. If you're lifting 4 days a week or 5 days a week, it's even easier. I mean, if you're going to do about 35 minutes of strength training and just do full body 3 days a week, I would just set it up with one main lift, whether it be a horizontal push, like a bench, a deadlift, or a squat variation. And, you know, set it up in either at least superset, possibly a tri-set, depending on how your conditioning is at that point and how heavy you're going to go. This was going to allow you to kind of hit on a bunch of things at once, and as long as you get some kind of simulation, you know, to those muscles twice a week, you know, say if we're talking about, let's just break it down, say if you're going to do some kind of knee dominant exercise twice a week, you know, that's probably going to be a lot better than nothing. And you're still going to, you know, it's really tough answering this without hearing what your goals are, Young. But if you're just trying to stay in good shape, and it's just strictly for health reasons, you're not trying to lose any body fat, or you're not trying to put on any muscle, or, you know, necessarily get as strong as Tony General Core, I don't think it's going to be too big of a hurdle to get in and out in 35 minutes. And, you know, possibly what you do is, you just get some of that extra stuff that you would normally do in that time and do it, you know, when you wake up or when you get home. Like, there's no problem, like John and I were talking about, having that Iron Gym pull-up bar and knocking out some pull-ups. I was just talking with actually a CP client yesterday who talked about some stuff that Pavel mentioned, where he, you know, to not overload and still work on your pull ups. What you do is you do one pull up, you kind of rest for like 30 seconds, 60 seconds, then you do two, and you kind of work up to two below what your pull up max would be, and then you work your way back down, taking two off every time, and again just resting for a minute, just kind of, you know. And if you're working at home, or if you can do put that in the office at work, now that's another way to get some more work done and help you burn a couple extra calories if that's what you're looking to do. But yeah, think full body workouts, or and keep it, you know, keep moving. Just, you know, do things that aren't going to be too difficult. You know, you shouldn't be doing heavy singles. Heavy singles are, you're going to be way too tired. You're not going to be able to do anything else in that 35 minutes. Keep it simple. Keep it efficient, and don't have any distractions around you. And if you talk about the guys that go and do it, don't lift with those guys, because you're probably going to get distracted and you probably get nothing done. Tony, shed some light.
Well, number one, I bought an Iron Gym and I put it on and I fell off my first day. Luckily, I was only like 3 inches off the ground, but I was literally in the bottom position and it came off and I'm like,
Oh, you're worried because it kind of bends
a
little bit.
I'm so hesitant to use it now that I'm like, cause I'm scared I'm going to fall off again. But on to what Young was talking about, he wrote that he's reluctant to do the 45-minute without giving up critical parts of his routine. Well, I would just say if it's down to 45 minutes, do the critical parts first. And, you know, I think the critical parts should be I like the big rocks theory. So, you know, 80% of your results are going to come from 20% of the work. So deadlift, squats, chin up. I mean, I would even say pick, like Kevin said, pick a main lift for that day. Do that first. That's your critical part of your workout. I don't think doing isolation bicep curls paired with, you know, dumbbell flies is really all that critical. I think if you get in there, do a heavy bench variation or a heavy squat variation or a heavy deadlift variation or do your chin-ups or whatever, that's your critical part of your workout. And then, you know, who's to say you can't throw in a quick, you know, 10, 15-minute finisher at the end where you're doing some goblet squats paired with push-ups or some chin-ups paired with a core movement. You know, I think you can absolutely get a really, really good workout in an hour. Like Kevin said, your warm-up and dynamic is going to be fairly quick. You know, get the blood going, then do your workout in 45 minutes and you're done. And as well, you could certainly do your extra foam rolling or anything else you have to do while you're home watching TV, you know, at night. So given that, like, I just think even, you know, yeah, you can do the 3 full-body days a week. But I would say, you know, if you're one of those guys that, you know, is really stringent about your routine, so I just pick a lift, a main lift for that day. So you can definitely train 5 days a week.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, like, do something like a row, horizontal pull one day, do like a vertical pull the other day.
I mean, he sounds like he's a busy guy. Like, he's in an office all day. Like, his workout is kind of like his time. Like, that's like his... you know, his 1 hour to 1.5 hour of the day where he can just do what he wants to do and not have to be in front of the computer. And, you know, and I can definitely respect that and understand that. So, you know, he wants to take it seriously. Do those main movements for the day and then finish it off with a 10, 15 minute, you know, quick, you know, EDT workout or something like that. I don't think he need to be wasting it. Hopefully he's not wasting his time doing, you know, rear delts and, you know, anterior tibialis day. You know, do those big lifts. Those are the ones that are going to get you the most bang for your buck. And those are the tried and true methods of, you know, of getting results. So that would be my quick piece of advice for him.
Last things that I would say is a couple options, but the intensity will always be more important than the volume. Evidence shows that. So, you know, when in doubt, cut those extra sets off. You're probably not getting much. Just like you said, you know, 80% of your results is coming from the 20%. So if you're doing 4 or 5 sets of everything, knock it down to 2 or 3, you're not going to see any difference in results. You could split up your workouts. So if you're still worried about the things that you might be cutting out, then do the major stuff during your lunch hour. And if you've got a day where you get out of the office early or you've got some time, go back to the gym and finish it off with 20 minutes of whatever you left out. You can also change your workouts frequently enough so that, you know, it especially if you've been doing the same kinds of routines for a while, switch everything up. Go to body part splits for a day. Go to whatever. You'll have results just because you've changed something. You've really introduced a stimulus that's above and beyond what you're used to normally. So those 45 minutes would be like an hour and a half to your body because it's something that's completely new and unusual. So don't do that all the time, but at least be creative enough that every time that you change your workout, it's not just the same concepts, just switching an exercise, but actually an entirely new methodology. And that should keep things kind of interesting for you for a while too.
Yeah, and if you got anything else, just shoot us another email and we'll follow up. We're going to move on for now. The next question that we're going to take, and this is going to be the last one from Chris from Ecuador. Man, we've been getting these like questions from Finland and Ecuador all over the place lately.
Power of the internets.
Dude, the internet goes almost anywhere in the world. I'm going to try to make that funny, but it worked on its own by failing. All right. Hello, Kevin / John. Screw Tony. Reading Kevin's blog about 9 things he learned where he talks about hip mobility, which was an eye-opener for me. I realized that I don't really have too much mobility in my whole body. I did the Thomas test and resulted that my extended leg was raising from the floor, indicating that I'm not so flexible at all. So the question is, what are the best exercises for increasing mobility and flexibility, not only in the hips, but in the whole body? Could you post some images or videos? When should these exercises be done, before or after weightlifting? I tried one today, but I'm not sure I'm doing it right, and I believe I should be doing more of them and more often. I really could notice the difference when I finished my workout today. I've worked out with weights for about 4 years, but have never done stretching before, which I can realize could improve my squatting and overall performance. Thanks in advance, Chris from Guayaquil. Is that how you say it? Guayaquil, Ecuador. I hope I said that correctly.
Wow, I'm betting you didn't.
Guayaquil.
G-Unit.
I say Guayaquil or something like that.
Okay, whatever.
God, we're so ignorant.
We are so ignorant. America. I don't know. Whenever I feel like you're going to say America, you have to say it in like a Texas accent. America. All right. Anyways, I think we should all go around the room, say our favorite hip mobility exercise, and then laugh about it later. No. But seriously, I think first thing you got to do, Chris, I want you to go into YouTube. I want you to search for two people. I want you to search for three people: Eric Cressy, Nick Tuminello, and Mike Robertson. And then maybe Tony Gentilcore, explosive calf video.
Yes, absolutely.
And well, then what I want you to do, you know, if you feel like you need a little bit more, I want you to go to either ericcressy.com, barbersontrainingsystems.com, or Nick Tuminello's website, and I want you to check out Assess and Correct, Magnificent Mobility, Inside Out, and all this stuff. Like, it's all great content, and even if you go to T-Nation, if you want to first start with the foam rolling stuff, Tony's got a good article called Soft Tissue for Tough Guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Check that out, and that will definitely get you started, but... yeah, not only just the mobility work, but also the foam rolling is something you're going to want to hit on in terms of your warm-up. And generally, you know, what we would recommend is have you do it before lifting. If you have some time afterwards to doing a little extra foam rolling, by all means, go for it. In terms of the videos themselves, though, I would send you to YouTube. Unfortunately, when Tony... myself and Brian shot all those exercise videos, we didn't hit on any mobility stuff. So I would recommend going to the experts in the field when it comes to that stuff and check their stuff out. And even if you go to T-Nation or T-Muscle.com is the website, look up those guys' names. Many times their articles deal with mobility. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see the images, but I would recommend seeing the videos because you can actually, you know, there's only so much you can get from a book, like, you know, a beginning and an end picture. I would check out the videos, and if you have any questions, start with that. If you have any more questions, give us a buzz. Shoot us an email, and we'll definitely hit on some more specific stuff. But there's a lot that you'll get out of just you know, reading a couple articles and venturing YouTube for the mobility exercises. Stick with those names, though. I don't know. There's unfortunately with the internet, pretty much anyone can post anything and say anything and say it's, you know, the truth. So I would make sure to stick with the trusted guys in the field. Also, Bill Hartman has a lot of great stuff out there as well. Did I hit on that for the most part, guys?
You know, it's kind of funny how if you tell a guy to stretch, they'll have nothing to do with it. But if you say to work on your mobility, they're like, oh, yeah, I got to work on my mobility, my hip mobility.
That's because it's performance-based, and it's not just right. like yoga mobility crap.
Right. We're such
dumb. I mean, yoga stretching stuff. Yeah, no, guys are dumb. That's
I'll just say, like, one of my New Year's resolutions is, you know, I need to stretch more. And, you know, every time I go to a seminar or a conference, the one point that I always bring back from it is I need to stretch more. Like, our tissue quality sucks. And it's not just about foam rolling. Yeah, the foam rolling gets rid of the scar tissue and adhesions and knots, but you need to stretch to actually regain that length back. So, you know, once you break down the tissue, it's important to stretch afterwards. So, you know, I've been trying to stretch more. I tell people to stretch more, but it is funny how you tell people to stretch more, they have nothing to do with it, but tell them to work on their mobility, and they're like, oh, yeah, let's, you know.
Because it sounds like it's performance-based, and, you know, I've run into the same issue with kids, you know, at Boyle's. Like, a lot of guys, you know, they're into the mobility stuff and the, you know, the static stretching work that, you know, they won't take as seriously because, you know, it doesn't sound as cool. Like, it's old. Like, this is a lot of times when they come in, they see the, you know, the dynamic warm-up and the foam rolling. It's brand-new stuff they've never seen before.
I mean, it's boring. I'll be the first to admit it's boring. Like, we don't want to just stand there and stretch because it doesn't feel good. And more often than not, we stretch what's easy. Most people are stretching the muscles that they're good at, and they're neglecting the ones they actually need to be stretching, namely the hip flexors and such. You know, I've just been making a point to do it when I'm at home at night. If I'm watching TV or I throw in a DVD or something, I just get on the floor and I do my foam rolling and I stretch. And I've been doing it for like a good 45 minutes to 60 minutes every night, and I feel profoundly better. It's amazing.
It's profound.
Just get it done. I mean, we don't want to do it. It's just something that needs to be done. We have to eat. We have to breathe. We have to drink. Got to stretch, man.
Definitely. That's where we're going to end it this week. I meant to talk about the Philips Go Light Blue Light that I picked up. Tony, have you heard about this?
No.
John, have you heard about this?
I have not.
It's this light that Philips makes that's supposed to regulate your day-night cycles to help SAD. It's like sleep. It's that thing that people get in the winter that messes up their sleeping cycles and makes it so they don't have as much energy and stuff.
So what is it? What does it do, though?
Here, I'll tell you right now. It's basically a light that sits on your desk, and the goal of it is to. I'll tell you what it says right now. In countries with long winters, many people experience loss of energy and low spirits due to lack of light. These symptoms are referred to as winter winter blues. They typically start in the fall and may last for several weeks. Exposure to bright light sources can help alleviate these symptoms and restore the summer mood and summer energy levels. The blue light of the summer sky is well known. We do not get as much of this light in the fall and winter, and indoor light does not emit enough of the essential color. The Go Light Blue energy light helps to deliver the wavelength, color, and intensity of light we see in summer. So what it Lee talked about it on her podcast a while back, and talking about it in the sense of, you know, helping her sleep better, get to sleep early and earlier, and waking up refreshed like at 6:30 in the morning. I found that, you know, I've definitely been getting up earlier since I've started using it, and I feel a little bit more refreshed waking up before my alarm, and, you know, feeling like when it hits 10:30 I'm like ready to pass out. But it's $150.
Jeez.
So it's kind of a
bit. Is it a lamp or a bulb?
It literally is like a it looks like a picture frame. It's a bunch of lights. Actually, you guys can check it out on Amazon. It's just a Philips blue light. Philips is the only guys that makes these right now. I think it's a proprietary technology, but you know, in the sense that it does it help? I think it does, but does it help you know, instead of what I could spend $150 on, probably not. I think it's going bad.
Yeah, you could buy the Lord of the Rings Blu-ray set for $150.
Yeah, and then I could, you know, like I could buy some, like, you know, that's not appropriate. I was gonna, all right, that's it. We're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna be right back. We're gonna talk with Dose, and Jonathan Fass is gonna leave us by saying, "Oh no, yeah, go what, John?" Oh, by the way, no. Before we wrap up, because I didn't say this during the part the interview that we're about to do. Don't forget to check out the show on iTunes. Please submit a review. Check out theficcast.com. Check out John's site at acceleratedstrength.com. Check out Tony's awesome revamped blog at tonygentlecore.com. Just not while you're at work, because you'll probably get in trouble for seeing the images that are on the
screen. Come on. They're safe for work. I'm not that bad.
I don't know. Actually, I've been actually reluctant to put images of scantily clad women on the Fitcast website in fear of that. So,
there's only side boob from occasion. There's nothing.
But side boob can, you know, make people lose their jobs. You don't want to lose your job over like non nipple shot. So,
depends on whose side boob. It could be worth it.
Like Moon Bloodgood, who for some reason we like our website was popping up when people typed in Moon Bloodgood on Google. How awesome is that?
That's pretty cool.
I think that is awesome. That's it. Thanks as always for listening to the show. Please tell a friend. Let us know about the sweatshirts. Check out theficcast.com for those blogs. And that is it. Let's take a break. We're gonna go talk to Dose. With me right now is Coach Robert Dose Remedios. He's got a new book out that you hopefully have picked up already. You can pick it up on Amazon. That's where I got my copy. It's Cardio Strength Training. And Dose, would you kind of say this is like a sequel to your previous book that you had come out through Men's Health, which I think it's selling like gangbusters. Like that. I mean, one of the best parts is, you know, we talk about people with who have books that come out on the show, but you can get these out there for like under $15, so anyone can pick them up.
Exactly. It's funny. It's actually funny to me sometimes, and it puts things in perspective when I've had a couple people say, "It's on my Christmas list. I want it so bad." I'm like, "You don't have like $13.50 on you right now?" Just, you know, you can get like super savory shipping and something else on there. But yeah, that's the best thing about, you know, having a book that's published by a big company like Rodale, and you know, the cost to the consumer is just it's virtually nothing. You know, especially if you go through Amazon. I mean, I think it's $19.95 is the list price on the back of that thing if you go to you know, Barnes and Noble or something. But you know, I've only met a handful of people that didn't get it, you know, off of Amazon. So yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, it's in programs and everything else. You really just can't beat it. You know, considering nowadays, you know, you're going and you're trying to buy things from people online, like self-published stuff and e-books and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the cost of those people putting them together is so high. But, you know, when you have a contract with a book company, it's a nice deal. I don't have to worry about it. And I don't have to worry about how many books sell. You know what I mean? It's kind of one of those things where, you know, it could sell like hotcakes, like you said. And really, it's probably going to be, you know, a few years before I actually start seeing some of that above and beyond what's, you know, already been paid. So it's kind of nice.
Yeah, for reference, for people out there, power training right now is just under $15, and cardio strength training is $13.50.
Yeah, but going back to what you said, yeah, it was actually cardio strength training was one of the chapters in the first book, and then when the publishers came back and asked if there was anything, you know, looking to expand on or to write on a different direction, I thought that was the most natural progression, because kind of at the time it just seemed like everybody was also really starting to talk about, you know, fitness and fat loss and intervals and anaerobic stuff and, you know, stuff like that. So it was really kind of the hot thing. I think it is. I was just talking to Alan Cosgrove about this just this last weekend, and it seems like it's almost gone. You know, we tend to swing that pendulum so far to each side, and I think we're maybe going that way right now, where we're so gung-ho and we hate aerobics so bad when, you know, there's a place for everything. It's like all these tools in the toolbox, you know. It's we got to find a way for it to fit into our programs.
Well, the industry is definitely leaning towards that way of, you know, doing the interval training and things like that. Do you think we're ever going to head back into, you know, are we ever going to find a reason to go do steady state again?
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, it's just it's a nasty thing to look at, you know. And you go into the gyms, especially now. You know, I taught the first spin class of the year this past Saturday, and you know I've got like 70 people in the class and all these new faces and that. But when I looked at, you know, and I went out to go get my little sign-in book, I looked out and I mean every treadmill and every Stairmaster and everything, you know, it's just like the hamsters were on the wheels, man. Yeah. And it was and everybody's reading a book or watching TV or, you know, and nobody's going very hard. And that's just the thing that I think we've been force-fed for years and years, that's the answer. And you know, we know, and research keeps proving that. And the practitioners in the field that, you know, can attest to what they see with their clients and their athletes, that, man, it's just kind of the wrong path for what 99% of those people are after.
Yeah, and even with, you know, with like my personal training clients, even at Boyle's right now, we have tons of toys to play with. So now my personal training clients, that some of which are coming from a commercial gym, and now we get to do the interval stuff, you know, doing the complex stuff, whether it be barbell complex or doing stuff with the ropes, the TRX, med ball stuff, sled, it's heaven. It's just not boring, and I don't see how people, once they, like, even if they got to crack open the book, or, you know, I'm sure a lot of listeners of the show do some kind of interval training already, but, you know, why would you, you know, hang out in the treadmill for 45 minutes when you could do something in 15, 20 minutes and get much more bang for your buck, and it's something that's actually interesting, it's enjoyable, you can make it competitive, and it's not just, you know, watching an episode of Seinfeld while walking on a treadmill.
Absolutely. You're right. I mean, I don't see how that would be appealing at all to think that I'm going to have to kill, you know, three quarters of an hour on a treadmill. I've never liked that. Even when I used to, you know, run, and that was, you know, I just said, like to do it. I just used to do it. I don't know, really know why I did it. It was almost an addiction at one point. I was going like 70, 75 miles a week. But for me, it was almost like I had those goals of longer distance or better times or, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't think I ever liked it. I really never liked it. You know, not like I liked lifting weights, and not like I liked doing plyometrics and things like that. But I just think that people are scared of it, maybe, you know. I think, you know, one of the things I talk about in the book is one of the concepts that Boyle said, you know, a few years ago about, like, why it is that we see that treadmill, you know, hamster mentality, and we're not seeing all these great things. And it's just, I think it's what's trickling to the masses. I don't know if it's getting there. I don't know if there are enough really solid trainers out there spreading the word, because all the trainers I see in the gyms that I go to and observe, they're doing the same old stuff. You know, get the clipboard out, put them on the treadmill. 10 minutes later, come on over here. You know, get on this machine, inner thigh. I mean, you know, and then maybe finish at the end with a little bit of another 20-15 minutes or something like that on whatever, you know, the elliptical or something. I just think, and those are the people that we're paying. Those are the people are paying for their knowledge. And I think that's the scary part, but that's always been the downfall or the drawback of this industry in general, is that, you know, we're all kind of lumped into the same title, but man, there's just so many different levels of what's actually going on, you know, in the trenches right now.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you bring that up. It is. I mean, I got the pleasure of working in a commercial gym for a year and got to see quite a few things. But I, you know, you even for the personal trainers out there, even doing stuff like this with your clients, like, not to get like all businessy on you, but, you know, sometimes when you do things like that, I literally had people come up to me and be like, oh, you know, what are you doing with your clients? Like, oh, can we set up a session so you can show me some of that stuff? And you literally will pick up clients by, you know, doing things because they see that your clients are getting results, and, you know, they're not on an elliptical just, you know, whistling and, you know, looking around, you know, trying to pick up chicks and stuff like that. They're, yeah, you know, they're actually doing work.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing, you know. I mean, we already know just the whole bang for your buck concept, and I think that scares people a lot of times too, is that it's kind of, you're out of your comfort zone more than you're in your comfort zone thing. And I think that's hard for people too. But when you start, you know, number one, you know, reason people give for not exercising is time. That's across the board. So, you know, you can get some really, really highly effective you know, sessions at 30 minutes and things like that, where you can really get a lot done. But you got to pay a little bit of a price, you know. And I think some people, you know, it just takes a while. But I think at the same time, I think results are going to dictate. You know, the trainers that get results, the trainers that have successful clients are the ones that are going to get more clients and new clients and more sessions and things like that. So I think it has a way of kind of evening out or weeding out, you know, the crappy ones from the not so crappy ones. I feel like I want to say shitty now because I read you guys' thing about the censoring. I feel like I just wanted to start dropping F-bombs on you right now.
I don't censor the guests. We try to censor ourselves, but the guests, you know, when we have, you know, Alan on or Dave Tate, yeah, and yourself, please feel free to drop them because we don't get to.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's one of those things where I'm just amazed. You know, I'm still amazed that people are paying good money, you know, at our place, like $80, $90 a session. Mm-hmm. For these trainers, and I'm not seeing these trainers trying to get better. I'm seeing them doing the same thing year after year after year. And you know, even just think about the stuff. Just think how you are, you know, growing in this industry and learning from all these different people. You're doing stuff different. You know, you're going to do stuff different in 2010 than 2009. I mean, I'm doing stuff different this week, this coming week, with some of the groups that are starting up again, with some, you know, football groups and stuff, than I did the last time I saw him, you know. So I just think it's one of those things where it's constantly evolving, and cardio just happens to be one of those ones that's evolved pretty drastically, you know, over the past few years. But we're still not really seeing that out in the masses. I think we're seeing more, you know, with that boot camp kind of mentality and the boot camp structure, and the kettlebells and the ropes and the TRX, things like that. I think that's awesome. And I just think human nature, you know, nobody wants to just be in this stagnant, boring thing. You know, boredom, lack of time, things like that. Those are things that kill that motivation. So I think if you can, whatever you can do to change up with a client, whether it's a stay-at-home mom or an athlete or whatever it is, I mean, I feel like I have to entertain our athletes sometimes. And these are guys and girls that are pretty motivated and have pretty set goals, you know, what they want to get done. So, and even then, you know, you just see that it's easy to slip into that kind of stagnant kind of feeling where they, you know, they just don't have the same kind of, you know, verve for it anymore.
Yeah, that's a great observation. I've been finding the same thing, you know, starting to work with groups of like 10, 12 kids. You really have to keep their attention the whole time, or they will easily get distracted. Especially when I'm dealing with a lot of, you know, 12, 13, 14-year-old high school kids who are very easily distracted because, you know, they want to be there for the training, but they also, you know, they just were at school for 8 hours and then they went home and did homework and they come in to train and, you know, yeah. they're definitely like, oh yeah, they're trying to chat with their friends and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, I can totally understand that. One thing I want to ask you about, and this is something from kind of a while back, but it hits on this, and that's the Biggest Loser. One of your favorite subjects. and the reason I bring it up is because they were doing some somewhat different things in terms of their cardiovascular work. And I was just wondering, did you watch like the whole season? I've only seen like 10 minutes of the show, so I'm not a you know, huge expert on it. But you know, I saw Dave Tate posting stuff about they're using the Prowler. You know, some people were telling me that they're doing more interval stuff, as Jillian Michaels, you know, yelled and spit in their clients' faces and stuff like that. But how are your feelings, you know, as that show ended? Like, were you at least, you know, happy that, you know, at least they're doing something like somewhat right?
Yeah, that's it's definitely a car wreck. I mean, I don't think I've ever watched one all the way through, but I felt like I did a blog post and got a lot of attention on it. And I kind of watched one for about 40 minutes, and it was because everybody was buzzing to me on Facebook. Everybody's status was, oh, I can't wait tonight. The season blah, 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 starts. And it was the season, you know, the first one of the season when they had somebody out there running a mile on the track, you know, some 400-pound person who's never done anything, you know, other than sit on the toilet and go to the kitchen. Yeah. And it's like, you're out there and they're going to the hospital, and you know, I just don't, you know, I'm wary about doing plyos with too many contacts with my 290-pound 19-year-old offensive lineman. Now, who can squat 500 pounds?
Yeah.
You know, and can power clean over 300 pounds. I mean, if you got a 400-pound obese 23-year-old female, I don't know if box jumps is what I'd be doing with them. I don't know if, you know, if I'd be doing these you know, basically explosives and things like that with them to the extent that they were doing it. And I think it's show business, you know. And it's amazing because that show is so incredibly popular. I mean, I can only imagine how rich those trainers are at this point with every product they can sell. I mean, they've got a huge – their audience has got to be, you know, Oprah-like at this point.
Well, Jillian Michaels, like in DVDs on Amazon, she had one of the top five best-selling DVDs last week out of like going up against feature films.
Yeah. I mean, that puts things in perspective, you know, when you start thinking about – you know, she could put out a book and it could be right there, you know, next to Sarah Palin's. I mean, it's just – that's scary to me. You know, whatever. She does what she does and she makes a living and she sleeps well at night and probably a really, really nice bed. But I don't know if the message is what we want to do. I mean, I watch it and I think it's abuse. And the whole thing is – and if you watch me coach, people think I'm abusive. So my whole thing is if I treated my athletes like that – I'd probably lose my job. And I don't think anybody coaches harder or more intensely than I do when I coach. You know, so to me that when I'm watching the show and I get taken aback thinking if that was my sister or my mom or somebody that she was just MFing, I mean, I would have a problem with that. I really would. I would, you know, I just don't know if that's the message, you know. And then we have this really deceiving end product, you know, when they're training 6-7 hours a day and everything that they're eating is you know, monitored to the calorie and we're supposed to think that it's just this little boot camp that they go through and this is, you know, the trials and tribulations. I mean, no, this is TV. It's fabricated. I mean, you can just Google and you'll see story upon story about people cheating to win and finding out what to do and diuretics. I mean, all this crazy stuff because it's bottom line is money. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, from that you can become a famous, you know, winner or whatever it is. And there's, I don't know. I just don't know if that's what, I don't think it's good at all. I've heard all those guys talk about it. I've heard Mike talk about it and Alan talk about it. And it's silly. And I just wish it would just go away. It's not going to, you know, cause now, and I just saw the promo for the new season and everybody's getting fired up about that with the family members and stuff now and trying to find the, you know, the biggest set of twins ever, you know, or things like that. And, I don't know, man, it's you know, it's out of my realm, you know, cause obviously I'm more into the performance thing, but, boy, I wouldn't want that job. I mean, I wouldn't mind having somebody like that as a client, but I think I'd go about it a little differently, you know?
Yeah, it's
a lot differently, actually.
It's scary when, you know, you start talking about the over-under for, you know, the upcoming seasons of when they're going to kill someone.
Oh, yeah. Well, and here's the thing. The only reason they take that shit is because they're trying to win the money.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not about these intrinsic goals that they have and all this shit. It's because they want to win the money and they want to be on TV and they want to be famous. That's the only reason you're going to take that woman spitting in your face and making you do box jumps with a weighted vest on or something. I mean, I just don't understand it. But if you look at it that way, it's pretty understandable because you can't do that to a regular client that's paying you $60 for the session. They're gone.
No.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine that? You go in tomorrow, Kevin, and you go try to pull some of that stuff with paying clients and watch what happens.
Yeah, they'd be F you. See you.
They're out. You're fired. You know. I mean, you're never getting hired anywhere else. So it's one of those things where it creates a strange picture, not only for people trying to lose weight, but trainers who are watching that and hopefully not trying to model themselves after, you know, above that. She's a cartoon character. And I think we all just need to understand that is that she might be a great person. She might not be anything like that in real life. But I think that she's created, it's pretty smart. She's created this persona that she is, you know, the bad cop of weight loss, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy, poor other guy, he suffers because nobody even knows his, I don't even know his name. And it's,
yeah,
whole thing, you know, poor guy, right? He's on there too. He's 50% of that crew. So, but he's the good cop. Nobody, you know, that doesn't make for good TV.
Well, just, you know, the only times that I've ever picked up on it is when something sketchy happens, like the whole I think we talked about on the podcast a while back with Lee that that she had a – we had someone write in. And I guess in one of her books, she spoke out against any kind of supplementation and, you know, fat burners and things like that. And then, you know, lo and behold, 2 months ago on her website, she starts selling fat burners.
Of course.
And other supplements. So
it's the same reason she picked up a kettlebell for the first time, man. It was kind of something that was hot. Those guys are going to cash in on that. Yeah. And it's the ugliest thing in the world when she tries to teach somebody kettlebell stuff, but they're not dumb, you know. They're money making machines, and they figure that out. But you know, they throw a lot of money at you. You start really you got to really have a firm belief system, otherwise you're going to compromise a lot.
And we kind of went on off on a tangent there, but it's all good stuff. And let's get to some of the questions that we have from the listeners. I'm going to start out. I got a couple questions because I really like this topic. And the first one I have for you is, how should the listeners incorporate cardio strength training into their programming if they're already doing some kind of like a 3 or 4 day lifting program? Let's say. Whether they're doing like New World's lifting or they're doing something with a personal trainer, or you know what they're doing, the program of the month in men's health or whatever.
Yeah, or the workout of the day.
Or the workout of the day in the gym.
Yeah, don't do the workout of the day. I get that question a lot because I have a lot of people like on my forum, my website and stuff that have been pretty religious with power training. So they're usually doing like a 3 day or a 4 day a week, like a push pull or a full body deal. They don't want to give that up, and I understand that. So the obvious thing for me is to say we're going to try to incorporate some of this cardio strength in each one of those sessions. Depending on how hard your session is, you would do more or less. But it could be as simple as throwing in a 3 or 4 set complex at the end or at the beginning. Personally, I like to do it at the beginning, but I don't really gas out that much. A lot of people will really gas, and then now all their strength is going to get shot for their workout. But I've always, you know, since I've gotten older and stuff, I don't really worry too much about the load. Plus, I've really, my work capacity is built up a lot so that I can really recover pretty quick and still handle close to the same weights regardless of, you know, how hard that complex was, say, 5 minutes earlier. So maybe including something like that at the beginning and then maybe doing a finisher at the end, like some of the finishers you talk about in the book, like just maybe a Tabata or a modification of a Tabata. And then the other thing is, I'm a huge frequency guy, so I really would say I just did an interview the other day and talked about, I would much rather have you do 6 30-minute sessions than 3 60-minute sessions. I just think it's better, you know, and I think you're like stoking that fire, mm-hmm. and getting it going, you know, early and often. So that being the case, you know, I'd say if you're going to do like a 3 day a week, you know, lifting cycle. Maybe do that with a finisher or a complex, and then maybe another 3 days a week, do something very short, like a 15-minute session of maybe some of these 30-30 or 40-20 type interval systems, or maybe some more complexes, and finish that up with some countdowns or, you know, whatever it is that you're going to pick. But once again, just kind of, you know, creating that afterburn effect and creating that epoch and really kind of getting that fitness to the next level. Now, that being said, you know, I'm blanketing, you know, my target audience by basically, you know, assuming that 99% of the people are kind of after the same thing. I want to look good. I want to lose some fat. I want to get fit, build work capacity, kind of the general thing. Now, if you want to get your bench press bigger, you want to get much bigger, then you would not incorporate this as much, obviously, because you'd be, you know, focusing more of your time on heavy lifting and things like that, or specific power lifts or Olympic lifts, whatever it is that you're doing. So I don't want people to get confused with that. If somebody goes, you know, I'm starting a powerlifting thing now, and how do I incorporate that? My question is, I don't know, you know, depending on what your weight class is and things like that, I don't know if you'd be incorporating a whole lot of it, to be honest with you, just depending on what your goals are and you know, what you're looking at down the road here for your cycle. So, but I think for the most part, you know, like kind of the men's health kind of reader, the person who's trying to get fit, looking to get in and out of the gym quick, these are kind of the way to go. So personally myself, I've almost gone completely to this cardio strength stuff. I mean, I very rarely am actually just going to the gym to just lift, you know, with longer rest periods and things like that. If I'm lifting, I'm going pretty hard and heavy, but doing more of those type of timed density kind of sessions. So And even then, I'm usually starting with a complex, doing a 20-minute density session, then probably doing a finisher at the end. But in and out the door is like 35 minutes. So, and with a lot of good work, with a lot of good weight, heavy weights lifted too.
I love the idea of just the 6 30-minute sessions per week because myself personally, and I have had this experience with my clients, the less they come into the gym, the poorer their eating is. Because they kind of really, feel like, if they went into the gym to work that day, that they don't want to, F up their eating for the day and then just destroy all that work they put in.
Yeah, no, I think that's pretty valid. Your mindset is different.
Yeah.
If going in and doing a 30-minute work session, jumping out of the shower and going to work, it's a different mindset for the rest of that day. Personally, and if you talk to anybody, I'm telling you 9 out of 10 people will tell you the same thing. So that will usually carry over into the other behaviors that tend to screw things up, either prior to that workout or after that workout.
Can you talk a little bit about you have a density training exercise menu in the book, which I found awesome because it's very much like what you had in power training. Mm-hmm. I love the menu system in terms of just like, yeah, you're gonna pick explosive exercise, horizontal push, horizontal pull, and things like that. I love that setup, and you also brought it over to cardio strength training. Can you explain how you set that up and kind of what it's like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we can go back to discussions that I've had and the reading that I've done from Charles Staley with his density stuff, and I think that the concept alone is what really hooked me initially, doing as much work as you can in a set period of time, because it's so easy to measure your progress. Because if you stay with the same weights and we get in better shape, we're going to accomplish more in that same amount of time. Now we can add weight and accomplish the same amount of sets. We already know we got better because we just handled more weight. So it's so easy, to see. I mean, even you could do it to the second. Hey, I did this 5 seconds better than I did last time, mm-hmm. or I did it 2 minutes better than last time, or I did 4 more sets than I did. So that's the big thing. And what I really like about it, and it's kind of the spin that I put on it, is to pick those five categories, basically, like the explosive, the knee or the hip dominant movement, then the core, and then the upper push and the upper pull. And then kind of changing that depending on how many times a week you're going to be training, but and then picking, giving a few examples of on those menus in there and some of my favorite ones that I do, but now getting used to saying if I'm going to do that dumbbell half bench where half your body's hanging off the bench with a single dumbbell, what's a good weight that I'm going to use for 8, which I say a 10 to 12 rep max, because you know how it goes. Once you go 5 minutes in, mm-hmm. start to gas a little bit. But the whole premise is to go as heavy as you can, yet stay as close to that 1 minute per set kind of pace. So at the end of 20 minutes, we're looking to hopefully accomplish about 20 sets. So and when you think about that and you start thinking, man, I used a 110-pound dumbbell today, and I added a 25-pound weight vest on when I did my 8s on my chins. You start adding that weight up, and holy smokes, man, you start looking about how much strength is going on there. That's why I think that a density-type session where you're picking these 5 exercises and you're kind of pushing your pace, you're resting as much as you need to, because there's going to be sometimes some exercises, if I'm doing something like a rear foot elevator or a Bulgarian split jump with a weighted vest on, you're probably going to have to rest a little bit after that before you walk over to try to do your weighted chins or whatever it is that you're going to do. So, some things are going faster, some things take a little more time, but in the whole thing at the end, the averaging out, you start to get this incredible amount of work done in this short period of time. So I always categorize this. I call complexes the king of all cardio strength training. I think that's the hardest when you do it right to do complexes, and I think they're the most effective. With the density stuff, I think that's the most perfect and most basically the most perfect hybrid of strength and metabolic, I think, that we can create. Because the weights, they're not just a 65 pounds on the bar kind of thing. And you're only limited by your, whatever you can handle on that particular exercise. So, I think that it's awesome. And I think for a lot of people, when people ask me, what do you think about it? I said, for a lot of us, that can be your strength. That could be your strength training. Mm-hmm. I mean, unless there's a reason why you need to go down lower than 8s, unless there's a reason why you need to try to get a 1RM or something like that. Otherwise, I'd say that, yeah, you could hang your hat on that for your strength training.
Let's talk a little bit about the equipment, because you and I kind of bounced back on Facebook earlier last week because I'm looking for some ropes. And I think this is one of the things that people are going to come, you know, ask is, you know, what if my the club that I train at, or maybe I train at home, you know, if I might have to go out and buy some of this stuff myself, what are going to be the best pieces of equipment and the best bang for my buck when it comes to, you know, doing stuff, you know, in terms of the complexes?
You know, there's so many things you can do, especially when you talk about things like complexes. We just did a killer kettlebell one the other day with a single kettlebell. Just, you know, all of our movements. I think we did 5 or 6 movements, unilateral stuff, you know, bilateral stuff, mm-hmm. with the kettlebell. You know, you could do an entire 30-30 or 40-20 circuit using nothing but, say, a TRX, or using nothing but a kettlebell. I mean, I think the kettlebell really fits in well with a lot of this metabolic stuff because swings are just so metabolic, right? I mean, you start to get good and efficient at them that you can push your pace, and all of a sudden 40 seconds of swinging something with a decent load or 30 seconds of doing windmills, and you're going to get, you know, pretty decent little strength effect there and a very, very killer metabolic effect there. But body weight stuff, I mean, there's valve slides. I mean, there's so many things that you can do, and I tried to throw as much as I could into the book. But you know, if you have a barbell and you've got, you know, the ability to throw a little bit of weight on there, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever it is, you can create some of the most killer complexes just with the barbell. If you've got a kettlebell, you know, that you can go back to back, say 3, 4, 5 movements and tax yourself out at doing 8 reps or 10 reps at each movement with that weight, you can create a crazy complex as well. So, when you start thinking about more of like the 30-30 intervals time sets or the 40-20s, a lot of times you're going to do, like, if it's weighted, it's probably going to be something like swings. If it's something else, it's probably going to be like battling ropes or dive bomber push-ups or TRX rows, things like that, where you're going to be able to keep going to the tune of 20-plus reps. So, you know, there's different levels, but it really comes down to how much load you're pushing and then what you're looking at in terms of, like, your work-to-rest ratio, you know, as far as, you know, body weight's more suited for something like a 40-20 where you're going to work for 40 and rest for 20, because it's going to be pretty tough if you're going to try to do that with a weight. First of all, to keep moving for 40 and then only rest for 20 is going to be tough.
I another question that's kind of off the path, but talking about using something like the TRX in a team setting, I don't know if you put the video up, I saw an awesome video up from, I think it was a Perform Better seminar, or maybe it was a seminar that you put on with a ton of TRXs hooked up and kind of like how you use those in team settings. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we do a lot because we have I'm fortunate enough to have a somewhat of a sponsorship with Fitness Anywhere and kind of acting as an advisor in some of the new directions they're trying to go with, trying to get into some of the collegiate strength, you know, the weight rooms and things like that. But so we have as many as 15 set up at a time, actually maybe 18. And even with when I bring in 60, 80 football guys, we can really get a lot done because we could set up, say, 3 or 4 people at each TRX, and I could put a kettlebell at each one as well. So now I could have valve slides there as well. So now I can do just like a body weight exercise. I can have somebody doing something with swinging the kettlebell. I could have somebody doing some kind of, you know, rotational rows or something on the TRX, or jump squats or single leg, you know, pistol jump squats, things like that. And then do it in either a set number of reps or a timed circuit to do one of these little cardio strength sessions. So we use them a lot in the group setting. I mean, that's all I have is groups. I mean, today, like, for example, we train basketball and, you know, it's a small group. I have about 12, but it's a pretty workable group. I only have to pull out, you know, 5 or 6 of them. But if I do have a bigger group like baseball, who's going to come in with 30 or 40 guys, then we'll get 12, 15 of them up there and you know, lay out, map out a pretty good little circuit for them or something.
Very cool. Let's jump to a question from Danny Nunez. He asks, Dose, I'm in the middle of starting an off-season wrestling program for 7th through 12th grade kids and would like to make explosive overall strength, legs and back, improving their grip strength, concentration for them to work on over the 8 months they have in between seasons. What would you recommend? We have just about anything you can think of in our gym location to work work with, so we have the facilities. Just looking for a few ideas. Thanks again. That's from Danny. That is pretty sweet to work with that group of kids and have almost anything you need.
I know. I was like, where's this guy working at?
Jeez. Yeah, where you getting that funding, man?
Because I was a high school football coach for 4 years, and boy, I tell you, I didn't have anything close to optimal facility. You know, I think it's just getting set up with a sound lifting program for those kids, teaching them how to lift right. That's the first thing. You know, when you're talking 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th graders. But the great thing is you can start them young. If he's got, say, a 9th grader, can you imagine, you know, how well that kid could be, you know, doing the Olympic lifts and how sound he'd be at his kettlebell movements and things like that if you have those types of things. And how, you know, guess how crazy strong his core would be and his hamstrings. It just, you know, it's amazing because I have my guys for 2 years, sometimes only 3 semesters, and then they're out of here. And I get so much done with these little lumps of clay. And when you have them for 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, gosh, that's a huge advantage just from a teaching standpoint, than having them improve upon those things every single semester you get them or every season you get them or whatever. So I just think the most important thing is to have a comprehensive program. That's what I think that sometimes gets lost in this, because cardio strength is kind of what we're talking about. It's the cardio part, you know, the things that we want to do that are going to spare lean body mass and bang for your buck and all that kind of stuff. But it should be a part of a program of what you're doing. With our athletes, it's a small part of what we do. Our bedrock is our lifting program, what we do, and our cycling and our, you know, our 3 week cycles and all the things that we do. So I like to make sure that the impression isn't that it's just like I'm a hodgepodge guy. Like I just throw stuff together, like create a boot camp in the back of, you know, a stadium somewhere, and we go. And every day I just decide, you know, with Magic 8 Ball what I'm going to do. There's everything's kind of go along with what our you know, around our bedrock of our program, which is our lifting. So I think that my biggest thing for Danny would be in this situation is establish a good sound lifting program, you know, obviously personally for us, you know, kind of around the explosive Olympic based, you know, all the general rules of thumb, you know, training on your feet, multiple joints, explosive impossible, really hitting posterior chain, all those types of things that are going to just be so good for these kids, as opposed to what I see coming into me, which is almost, you know, very little planning in these programs, you know, like 3-4-5-1 push to pull. Yeah. Virtually no posterior strength, terrible hamstring strength, terrible flexibility. So I think that's, if you could just kind of do that, and then all the rest is just gravy. Being able to work in these cardio strength type things, being able to work in some strongman stuff, all those types of things is great. But you got to create this kind of a, you know, a plan, your bedrock of your plan, essentially.
This is another cool question that we have from Craig Kay, who you know, this is one of the questions that people are always writing articles about and always asking. Dose, I would like to know your aha moments for 2009 that you have made and that have made you think differently about how you train your athletes.
I saw that question and I wish I had a definitive answer for you. But I'll tell you, one of the big advantages that I have as a professional is one of the huge things that I really depend on for my personal growth is to perform better summits, which I get to speak on at, and I try to go into as many talks and talk to those guys, even guys that I know well. And like, it drives Cosgrove crazy because I always go in and listen to him speak, and he knows exactly that I know what he's going to talk about. But I always seem to pick up one little thing, even if it's a nuance or something in a technique that he might talk about. Same with Boyle. I've heard those guys all talk a million times, but you know, if I go in and hear Mark Verstegen talk or Allen or Boyle or Rob Rogers or somebody like Todd Wright, who some people haven't heard of, who's just a brilliant, brilliant coach, I always pick something. And, I, you know, if you saw my notes, it's kind of nuts because I just Like, I'll have a presentation the next day, and I'll be changing my presentation all the way up to include stuff that some of these guys say that might be applicable to what to maybe make a point that I'm trying to make in my talk. So just by that, I'm already getting better. And you could call that an aha moment or whatever. But listening to that, like, one year I sat there and I listened to Albert Mule talk. I ran right back upstairs to the room, and I typed out a slide about a couple of things. And then I went back down and I heard Juan Carlos say something. I said, shit, I got to go back up there and do this too. I got to add this, make sure I get this, because it was so profound as far as where it applied to the exact, the talk that I was happened to be talking about that year. But there's just so many. I'll be honest with you that I'm one of those guys that, 43 years old, been doing this for a long time, and I just really can't get enough. And for me, just to get any little thing, people, I subscribe to so many newsletters and so many blog posts and so many YouTube video deals that, every day I'll go on and just see like what, Smitty and the Diesel Crew guys are doing something, because they'll do something fucking crazy, and I'll be like, shit, I got to do that,
Their videos are awesome.
Those guys are nuts. I mean, they're almost scary. They scare me a little bit. It's just kind of cool. And we always go back and forth about that, because just like on Facebook and email and stuff like that. But those are quality guys. Are extremely bright guys. They're just stronger than shit. And the stuff that they do, sometimes you're like, man, why didn't I think of that? I'm going to do this with the rope and the bands. I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this with my guys. And it's just all those types of things, I think, that sometimes, the aha moment doesn't necessarily have to be like, oh shit, I shouldn't squat my guys anymore. Like some people might do that, that whole thing with Boyle. But I'll tell you what, that was for me too. When you start looking at it and we start talking about it, I think that's a pretty valid thing. When you could come out and you can create a video clip on the internet that has some people ready to kill you, some people saying that you're the Antichrist, some people saying that you're the most brilliant person in the world, and just basically having the majority of people just talk about it, I think that's huge. It's something that an extremely experienced, educated person came up with and said, this is how I see it. I don't care what you do with it, but whatever you do with it, but this is where I'm coming from. And I think that's usually Mike's strongest point, is strongest suit is his ability to do that, put it out there and get people really pissed off or get people really excited. But that could have been one of them. It's one of those things where, I don't know if it changed drastically what I did, the weeks after that, but it made me look at things a lot differently. It definitely did that. So I think that would be one of them. But there's just so many, Kevin, I don't even know, if I could even come up with my top five.
I think definitely the whole thing surrounding the no more squatting was very interesting to kind of be around and kind of see the reaction, not only online, but
I mean, you could see how it polarized. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I would read stuff and I'd be thinking, is this person really that pissed off? I mean, this person is really that angry with this guy for saying that. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. I'm like, if you don't like it, just don't do it.
Well, look at him. He's not big. What does he know?
Exactly.
I mean, he's just been like, training people for 25 years. So
yeah. Don't worry about that. But how big are his arms?
Yeah. But I mean, I think at least one positive to it. I mean, besides the the threads on T Nation that were flipping out, the positive things, at least there was a little bit of a discussion going. Maybe not all of it was intelligent, but at least it got people talking, discussing, be like, yeah, maybe you have to explain to me a little bit more. And I think Mike has. I mean, Mike's gone out. He's written on his blog a little bit more about it. He even wrote an article for T Nation about it, and people flipped out when he wrote that article.
It's one of those things, if you worry about trying to please not even everybody, just the majority of people, you're going to hate it. Yeah. I mean, like I when I first started kind of getting out of the realm of just being the guy at my weight room and doing some men's health stuff, and then all of a sudden, people hating me on the internet and things like that for things that I say, I used to take it so personal all the time. And over the last few years, I just kind of, I don't really even care. People are always welcome to come down and hang out with us and see where you train. We don't, You know, I don't say anything that we don't do. There's nothing in cardio strength training. There's nothing health, nothing in men's health power training that we haven't battle tested for years and years and years. So I don't have any, you know, qualms about that kind of stuff. It's one of those things where some people just, you know, they just have it out for you. They just don't want to hear what you have to say, or when you do, or they wait for something you say, and then they jump on you, and they get their troops to rally around you and mock you and things like that. So.
Well, it's all about, you know, it's all about the safety of being behind the computer screen and, you know, being able to be anonymous. But that's the internet. Unfortunately, that's the world that we're kind of living in right now.
I tell you what, and that's the easiest, most comfortable seat in the house.
Yeah.
You know, when you don't have to worry about, if I don't do my job and I don't do it well, you know, some 19-year-old kid's not going to be able to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole thing is, you know, and based on what we've done at our place, that 19-year-old kid, you know, might be an NFL starter, you know, in 2 years. So for us, it's, you know, I have the best job in the world. And at the same time, if we don't believe in what we are talking about, not even selling, you know, I don't even, you know, care. We bounce stuff around on my internet forum. I answer guys' questions, you know, all day long. If I have an hour break, I'll get on that thing, and people just go, I can't believe you answer these questions. I can't believe you answered my question about page 45 in your book, you know, and I'm like, it's cool. I love doing that. I mean, when in the world would I be able to discuss, you know, cardio strength training with some kid in India,
mm-hmm.
you know, who's just started lifting in his garage or something? I mean, it's one of those things that the first book and this book has opened up, you know, something that, you know, I've been doing for a long time. But at the same time, it's a great opportunity for me. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's awesome. And just hanging out with all these guys and getting on that Perform Better tour, and that's opened up an entire, you know, world of opportunities for me as well.
Are you going to be presenting again in Long Beach this year?
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah, we haven't got all our assignments out, but yeah, I'm looking at last couple of years I've been in Chicago and Long Beach. We'll see what, you know, last year I did a couple of stops for Chris and Perform Better, like the NSCA and the CSCCA as well. But this year I think just going to be the summits and just a couple other things. I'm doing one thing up at University of Oregon with for Fitness Anywhere, for a big NSCA clinic that they're having up there. So that'll be fun.
Very cool. Let's see. I think we're going to kind of wrap it up there. The couple things I do want to quickly mention is you do have a blog that you're updating pretty regularly at coachdose.blogspot.com, and also your website as well, when you're kind of talking about that forum a little bit, and basically that's at your coachdose.com website. Can you talk a little bit about what's going on at both of those places?
Yeah, you know, I'm a terrible blogger. I don't know. Like I went on and was reading Lee's stuff, and that's a gift. I don't know. Like to not just come up with stuff that you think is blog worthy,
mm-hmm.
but you know, to come up with it regularly and be able to bounce stuff around. And you know, Alan's really good at that. There's a lot of people that are very good at that. I just don't. You know, I'd rather take like Lee's one that she put out today with her little best of 2000. I want to run that one. I'll just copy that and put it on and tell her, you know, because there's so much good stuff out there. I try to update it pretty regularly. We're going to have some good stuff, some good things coming out with cardio strength training, like some of those cards that we put together, those kind of pull down menu style cards that we're kind of working on. I'm working on with a couple different people. some other types of bonuses and things like that we're doing. Hopefully, you know, I've just been so far behind and now getting ready for the winter and the spring that our goal initially was to have a DVD out to go along with kind of real time workouts going on. But we do have, you know, Alan and I and Rachel put one together a few years ago with our whole metabolic acceleration DVD, and a lot of the stuff that's in cardio strength training with the complexes and the countdowns and some of the density examples, they're on that too. So I don't feel too bad because there's a resource out there to kind of show some of that real time stuff. But at the forum, it's been great. We created a fan page on Facebook for the book. It's up near, you know, already 800 people, and you know, it's only been up for a couple of weeks. We've got a great, cool little contest going, you know, with people sending in pictures of them with the book.
I've been enjoying those.
Yeah, and you know, and basically every week I pick one, and we send out a signed copy to that person. We're just trying to create a cool little buzz about it. I think it's an easy read. We had some editing issues with it, and a couple of different mistakes in there that we're going to try to, you know, make sure everybody gets that information out there, either on the Amazon author page or, you know, and also Facebook and things like that. But it's created a great little deal. People can post their workouts, their favorite one that they did, or how they kicked their own butt today, or something like that. But then also on the forum, we've increased our membership on there quite a bit. And it's a free thing. They just come on. People are up there talking about power training, still talking about stuff on the web, throwing questions out there. And I've to the point where I've got I think around 1,500 people that are on that board. But we have some really great people that have been there for a long time that came over from the men's health boards and so forth that are able to answer a lot of these questions without me even having to jump in there at all. So it frees me up a little bit. And not to, so I don't have to worry about it. But we try to answer every question on there, and I think that's kind of unique nowadays with what's going on out there, especially for something as big as cardio strength training. As long as I could keep doing it, I'm going to keep doing it until I run out of time. But I've got a great schedule of what we do at our place, and I usually have some downtime throughout the day. So those are just things that we do. We kick that around in there and bounce ideas off each other on the forums, and people get to introduce themselves, what they're doing, blah blah blah. Put up post pictures, workouts, things like that. So it's a if they go to coachdose.com, you'll see there'll be a little forum link. They can come on there and to the blog and to that and be able to see that. But coachdose.com is probably the easiest thing to remember, so they can get there and bounce to those spots from there.
Very good. And I forgot one last question. And this is a football or soccer question, depending on where you're from. We have many international listeners, but I want to ask you. I've been trying to get a lot of opinions on this because it's a very heated topic. U.S. is matched up with England for the World Cup. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think we got a chance. I mean, I don't know what it is, but the last couple of years, there's been a lot of positive buzz with our our national soccer, and I think that that's great. I'm tired of hearing about how shitty we are. And how we can't compete on that grand scale, when it's time, when it's real time. And just like us with Brazil a little while ago, I mean, we show we can compete. It's just a matter of getting it done in World Cup time now, But when I saw that, I was actually in Brazil when which is crazy, by the way, because they shut everything down for the announcing of the brackets. So you can only imagine what it's going to be like when they're playing in the games. But as far as getting in that group of teams and with that first game against England, hey, I think we have as good a chance as anybody. Maybe I'm just ignorant, but I gotta believe. We send the best we have, and you play a match, man, and you go and see what happens on that given day. So that'd be great, wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, unless you're an England fan.
Oh, I'm pumped! I got one of my best friends is from England. And I've been kind of building this up, and England hasn't been on the top of the world these last couple of years. Some of their better players like Rooney he's kind of old.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I think maybe everything's aligning right now.
Yeah.
So that they'll have a chance. But wouldn't that would be great? It would be great, for our, just a USA soccer in general. Just a give, and it's tough. Look at in the States, you're competing even on that grand scale of the biggest, the World Cup. I mean, there's going to be, most people not even going to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Whereas, like I said, in Brazil, you don't think they know what's going on. They knew they weren't going to work to see them pull the ping pong balls out of the hopper.
It's like five times the Super Bowl.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's always been tough here. Like Olympic weightlifting is here. I mean, there's just so many other things in the States going on, and any given weekend there's a zillion things going on. I mean, last week we had NFL football, college football games. We got the Winter Classic going on, in Boston. I mean, there's a zillion things going on. Plus whatever Tiger Woods is doing that day, we have a lot of stuff, and I don't know if that's an excuse or not, but it's just, I think it's the reality. What we have.
I've never had it described to me like that, but yeah, it's what those were, soccer, football, whatever you call it in your country, that tends to be the thing there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you've got rugby and things like that and a lot of spots too, but there's a zillion things going on out here, I don't know if it's ever, I don't think it's ever going to get to the level it is in some of these other countries, with our soccer. But if we can prove to be competitive, which I think we're showing that we can, that'd be awesome. I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I know a lot of people that are, and boy, would that make a lot of people happy that I know.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch, and it's the first time that I'm really, really excited to, you know, go out to a pub and watch a soccer game, you know, and definitely I want to see the you know, both sides of England and America going.
Oh no, absolutely! And the World Cup environment. I mean, the last World Cup, we were in. I was actually in Hungary during the time, you know, and it was going on in Germany. But just the atmosphere in every pub, you know, you walked by. I mean, you was the people on the streets, you know, looking through the glass, you know, the glass storefront, you know, to try to see the TV from where they were, and it's awesome, you know. It's you know, I'm not going to get that here, you know, but the reality is it's a pretty big deal, you know, and it'll be interesting to see how they run that, you know, in South Africa, and hopefully everything's safe and secure and everything else. But I know that there was a lot of concerns with that kind of stuff.
I think. That's where we're going to wrap it up. For people out there who haven't already, you know what, for my denomination that I like to use on the show is cups of coffee, because everyone drinks coffee pretty much, or, you know, you drink Red Bull. It's coffee or Red Bull. So I want you to, you know, think of this. This is like three overly priced cups of coffee that you probably bought at Starbucks this week.
That's drinking Starbucks right now, actually.
There you go. So you got some Starbucks. You know, even pick up the book, go in a Starbucks, and then treat yourself with like a, you know, mocha latte, something. I don't know. I don't drink coffee. I'm more of a green tea spike guy myself. But
there you go.
You know, that's my poison. But, you know, for people out there, really, go to Amazon. This is a no-brainer. Definitely if you want to spice up your cardio training, your interval workouts, and there's also some great strength training information in there as well. And it's a fantastic book. It's something that should definitely be on your shelves, and should definitely give a read. Dose, thank you so much for coming on the show again, man. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. It's always
thanks, I love it on these things. I'm disappointed that I didn't drop any F-bombs today, though.
I think you did.
I did? Oh, I might drop
one.
Yeah. My pleasure. I think this is it's been a great experience, and we're really, I think that the way it's selling is just blowing everybody away. The fact that that things are backed up on Amazon and even on BarnesandNoble.com, I believe it. You know, I think they kind of underestimated this. But I think the following was so big from power training that there was just so many people that weren't in tune with me or knew who I was or whatever in the first book just did so well. It's actually turned out to be kind of a Bible of sorts for a lot of people that we, you know, I knew I was confident and my editor was confident that this one was going to be even bigger, you know, within it. And I think it's going to hopefully, you know, have some long-term strength here that's going to ride out for a little bit at least.
Yeah, and, you know, we're having Adam on the show in a couple of weeks. So for right now, I want you to destroy Adam's book, and let's sell a ton of copies of Cardio Strength Training.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to. It's always tough to compete with a Men's Health big book of anything, you know, Men's Health big book of anything. So, but just to be able to get in there and be competitive at least for a short period of time is pretty cool, you know. But like I said, it's surreal to me, you know, just to have opportunities like this and to put on paper what we do with what I do in my training and what we do with our athletes and what I think could be effective for, you know, the weight loss client and things like that. I think it's been a huge, a great experience, you know, a lot of life changing stuff. So it's pretty exciting, man. I get to be on your show. Come on.
Yeah. That's I'm sure that's the highlight. Oh, yeah, man. Dose, thanks so much for coming back on the show. For people out there, like I said, pick up the book. Check out Dose's site, coachdose.com, and you can also check him out on his blog that's on Blogspot at coachdose.blogspot.com. I'll throw up links to all those things we just mentioned in the show notes, and hopefully, like I said, I would like to you guys go on that fan page also on Facebook and throw up some pictures. throw some I want some interesting pictures. I expect a lot from you, Ficast audience. I want
Absolutely. Hey, win a signed copy of the book. I'll get that out to you ASAP. If you give me something good. Nothing crazy.
Nothing risque.
Did you see BJ Godore's one from Workout Muse? He put one up on there with his in his partial interval man outfit.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's about as risque as we want to get. We don't want to get any you know.
Keep it safe for work, basically.
Yeah, no farm animals or anything like that. Everything else.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, let's make sure that does not happen. All right, Dos. Thanks a lot, and thanks everyone for tuning in this week. We'll see you next time. Welcome to the off-topic discussion for this week for episode 163. Can you believe we've done 163 episodes?
I was just looking last
night. Does that sound like a lot?
It seems like it wasn't that long ago when you were touting the 100th episode.
I know.
You know, it's like it's crazy.
You're almost getting to the two bills. Almost there.
I was looking last night, and me and Lee completely missed our one-year anniversary. It was in September.
Oh,
was it last September you guys started doing it weekly?
2008.
God, that's so long ago.
Yeah.
Wow. We're old, man. We're old. Too old for this shit.
Okay.
Thanks, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
So how many times have both of you seen Avatar? Because I know it's been a while.
Zero.
I've seen it twice.
My brother tried to get me to go see it, but I couldn't go because I had to work.
I've gone twice, and both times it's been sold out.
Yeah. Well, we bought – the first time we went, I went with a bunch of the baseball guys from the facility, and we bought our tickets 2 weeks in advance because we went opening night.
Yeah, we couldn't. We couldn't Fandango it, whatever. And then we were going to the IMAX, and it was just good luck with that.
Yeah. I was the dude that, because we both times I've gone to the 3D, IMAX 3D.
Right.
The first showing, I was the guy that started the clap at the end of the movie. I was so proud of myself.
Wow.
He also started the clap when Dr. Manhattan
came
on screen.
The delayed clap. It was awesome.
He also saw that in 3D.
What was that?
How... Watchmen, you remember having that conversation?
Yeah, I remember that. It was very awkward. You try to hold my hand and...
Dude, it's so big. That was actually on TV last night. I bought it on Blu-ray around Christmas. They had it on Amazon for $10, and
it looks awesome on Blu-ray.
Well, I mean, I have like a couple movies now that are like borderline 3 hours long that I can't. I feel like I won't be able to sit through it. And one of them's Casino, which I've never seen before.
Oh, yeah.
Which is also, like, I remember we talked about this. There's a ton of movies that were like $9.99. Yet I've had time to watch Fast and Furious twice in Fast and the Furious Tokyo Drift.
You know, that's so disappointing. Wow. Like, you'll watch a shit movie twice and you won't watch a classic once.
It's because I enjoy those movies so much more. Tony, I'm glad that you don't listen to the show like a ton when you're not on because I called you.
You guys probably rip me a new asshole every time when I'm not on the show.
No, I called you like a movie snob.
I am a movie snob. I'm proud of it.
Because
last night, like this was maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, my girlfriend inadvertently told me that she had never seen Goodfellas, and I was like, a deal breaker. Like, I was almost going to break up with her.
I haven't either. I also have that on Blu-ray and have not watched it yet.
We started watching it last night, so step in the right direction. But you've never seen Goodfellas or Casino?
I have it. I bought it. They're like, they were $9.99 on Amazon. I bought them, and I've not seen them yet. I also bought something else. It's just like $9.99. If something's $9.99, I 2 day one click it. Like that's a deal maker. Like if a Blu-ray movie's $10, and also Black Hawk Down.
Yeah, Amazon is like phenomenal with Blu-rays. Like I'm buying all of them off there. They're like half price compared to if you go to like Best Buy or anywhere else.
Yeah, the only one that I've actually bought that's new, like Batman Begins right now is $10 on the site. Mm-hmm. But like the only thing that I bought that's new is Star Trek, which I've also watched twice since I've gotten.
Yeah, that's
Blu-ray.
A good movie. Like yeah. I wasn't a Trekkie, but the J.J. Abrams did an awesome job with the new one.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out. Hey, by the way, there's no Lee Peel, but people already realize that unless you're one of those, you know, few that have emailed us that fast forward to the off topic first.
Mm-hmm.
Which we have really actually gotten emails from that. Hold on, let me see if I can pull that up. Well, one of the emails that we got that is off topic that I wanted to put in here is from Jam from Ottawa. Said, "Hey fellas, great show. Caught your show by surprise while searching for a cardio workout music podcast on iTunes and decided to give you a try and did not regret it. Episode 162, so that was last week's episode where the audio quality was kind of messed up. I too use video games for relaxation and do listen to a couple of video game podcasts as well, so when you guys started talking of video games in the beginning of the cast, I completely forgot that I was listening to a fitness and nutrition podcast for a few minutes. Anyhow, it's cool to hear you guys talk about health." Yeah, whatever. "Talk about health, fitness, and throw in video games every now and then. Nice touch. Once again, great show. Keep up the good work. Jam from Ottawa."
It's a cool you know game. What, Kevin? Speaking of video games, over Christmas, I went to Albany because I stayed over at my sister's house and hung out with my nephew and niece and brother-in-law. And my brother-in-law got my sister the Wii Fit.
Yeah.
And my fitness age is 40.
Yeah.
It told me I was overweight. Of course, I knew that was going to happen. I'm like, whatever, this is absurd. But it was pretty fun. I'm not going to lie. I had a good time playing it.
Well, we got a question. I don't think we're going to get to it this week, but the question was, I want to get a fitness game for the Wii for my girlfriend. Which one should I get? There's Jillian Michaels Fitness. There's a Gold's Gym one. There's a Jenny McCarthy one. There's obviously, there's the Wii Fit.
I didn't realize there were so many.
Oh, it's huge. So I, you know, I'll have to kind of research that a little bit more. But from what I've, they're all dog crap. They're all junk.
Well, the one that I played, it was just like it was more of a kit. Like I think it came with the system, but
yeah, it's like the Wii Fit
one. You do the soccer one, like you try to block the soccer balls, and you do like
no,
the
dude, that's $100.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
That's like
well,
that's
it came.
2 months
it came with
membership.
It came with the system.
Oh, they might have gotten like a bundle or something.
Yeah, but it was one of the. I mean, so there were like I don't know 12. I mean, there were quite a few games, but stressing different things. Like you could do a strength training game, or a yoga game, or a flexibility game, or a balance game. So I just kind of like interplayed with all of them, but yeah, it wasn't too bad. But it was just funny how they gave me an age of 40. So they're like, "Oh, you're out cheap." I'm like, "Please."
Well, we liked. I think it's cool. Just going back to Jam stuff, and you know, we try to mix up a little bit. It is, you know, some people love it, some people hate it, but we do kind of set it up as like a bunch of friends just talking about fitness, nutrition, rehab, whatever. And I think that's why.
Video games,
you know, browsing the internet.
Movies.
Finding videos. We try to keep it as much as we can in this off-topic discussion for the people that want to hear it. But, you know, sometimes the barrier between off-topic and on-topic is just too thin, and some of it seeps through. So that's what happens.
And the people who don't like it can bite it.
Yes.
Yeah, but continue to subscribe and post a good review, and then you can bite it.
Thank you, Tony.
Tony doesn't care. It's just be like, "Oh, yeah, F you, F you, F you. You're cool. F you.
You're cool."
Anyone know that reference?
Yeah.
You know, I think that movie's kind of overrated.
Half-Baked?
Yeah. No, it's Dazed and Confused.
No, it's half-baked.
Oh, it is? Shit.
Yeah.
How about that football game? Those football games last night? That Jets game was awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't watch any football yesterday. The only thing I saw, we went out to eat, and of course, like, you know, when you're trying to concentrate on the food and spending time with your girlfriend, I'm like looking over to my right trying to watch the game.
Well, that was dumb.
I come across as like a big jerk.
No,
you're coming across as it's the playoffs, and you know, some things are more important.
Dude, I had like a ridiculous amount of work to do over this weekend, but my friends went to Atlantic City to celebrate the first round of the playoffs.
To celebrate the playoffs. Yeah. They went to Atlantic City.
They all left their wives at home and they all went to Atlantic City. And I was so mad that I couldn't go.
Bummer, dude.
I've never been there. Is it actually a fun place to go?
No, it's horrible. I hate Atlantic City.
I mean, it's like, I've been to Vegas twice, so it just kind of seems
it's
like...
It's not even...
Like,
yeah, it's not even... Yeah.
For people that are in the North Shore, Massachusetts area, this will be relevant, but I spent the better part of the night last night at the Sullivan Street Grill, continuously ordering food and...
Wait, where'd you go?
Sullivan Street Grill in Danvers.
Oh.
The great little sports bar. It's kind of weird. There was two incredibly drunk older men that were both
hitting on
oddly
you?
Short. And they're just like every time there was like a pass or something that didn't happen, it's like, oh, come on. And they're always making references to like how much you get paid. Come on, you get paid to catch that ball. Yeah, not every ball.
And they've never played a sport in their life.
No, they're like literally 6 years old. Like I have an uncle who every time I see him like Christmas and Thanksgiving, and every time we sit down, like he will talk sports. Like he was a gym teacher and a high school teacher, you know, his whole career, and he'll come in and be like. He'll be like, did you hear who so-and-so just signed? Did you hear how much money they got? And every time he'll be like, God, they got more money than God and all this stuff. And just how you know, these guys are so overpaid. I'm like, well, you know, we pay $60 to go see them.
That's exactly. Cool.
If you don't...
No one's putting a gun in your head to go to the game.
Yeah, but he's so funny. And I'll be like, yeah, I know. It's like, it's crazy. I could live, you know, the rest of my life off $1 million. And these guys blow it. And, you know, Antoine Walker blew $100 million, you know, a year after his career was done gambling in Vegas. So, poor Boston guy. But, What else? There was one more thing I wanted to bring up real quick. Balls. I can't. I don't know. You guys got anything else?
I'm going to the Museum of Science to go to the Harry Potter exhibit today.
Oh, no. That reminds me. Tony, on Amazon, they have... they just...
That reminds me. You're a complete tool.
No. I didn't know that was still going on because I saw it there when
It's on until February 21st.
Oh, wow.
We're going today. I'm gonna wear my Gryffindor scarf and get in a fight with some Slytherins and...
He's dead serious.
Nothing well, like wait. What about Amazon?
They just announced that they're gonna release the Lord of the Rings on Blu-ray.
Yeah,
April 6th. So
nice.
Pre-order that.
I will definitely get that. That's something that needs to be owned on Blu-ray.
And I still have not seen the third one.
You know what's sad is like you know I bought the movies when they originally came out on DVD, and then of course when they released
like
the extended
versions
of the DVD, I bought those. And now I'm going to buy the Blu-rays, so it's like, oh my, I've probably easily spent over $200 just on those movies.
I own four versions of the original Stargate movie. And I own three versions of Back to the Future.
It's insane how much money we spent on that stuff.
But hopefully the Back to the Future will come out on Blu-ray. With some more
they
bonus
have support
materials.
Groups for guys like you.
For Tony? Oh, dude. Tony, did you see the DeLorean that Lee got me?
The what?
Lee got me a DeLorean for Christmas.
No, what is that? I have no idea what that is.
It's like the time machine from Back to the
Dude.
Future.
Dude.
Oh.
Tony, you lose.
Hell, that's a fail on my part.
That's a man fail.
Man.
I really just want to play that clip from Willy Wonka where, you lose! Good day, sir!
Yeah.
So that's a reference.
That's a great fail bit.
All right. We gotta see if I gotta try to get that stuff working.
Speaking of bits, yesterday, Kevin, you know Andrew who trains at CP.
Yeah.
And you know how like usually on like his last rep and everything, he screams as loud as he can.
Dude, Andrew's awesome.
Yeah, oh no, it's all
yeah.
No,
he like followed
awesome,
me all the way to 95.
He was doing it, so he was trap bar deadlifting. So I'm like, to hell with this. I'm going to get a cut. I went into the office, got This Is Sparta on YouTube. You know, it's like, this, Sparta. So he did it. I put it over the loudspeaker as loud as I could, right after his last rep when he usually screams. Oh, it was hilarious.
That was
my, come on, guys. That was...
Not only was that a, you had to
so
see
that's
there,
why you're looking
now,
for the Braveheart clip?
Oh, I looked up that one. I couldn't find it. I couldn't find the Freedom.
I also bought Braveheart on DVD, and I haven't watched it since I bought it. I have seen it before, though. It's a good movie. It's a friggin' four-hour movie is on Blu-ray. They're going to be the end of me. And now I have all this reading I have to do this weekend. It's nuts.
Speaking of reading, I'm reading Boyle's new book. It's really good.
It is really good.
Yeah.
There's a seminar coming up next couple weeks, too.
Oh, yeah, it's 2 weeks, right?
We should promote,
Chas, yeah. Are you coming up for that, by the way?
Nope.
Oh, dude, you're such a loser.
Nope.
I just remember last year, Chas just sitting in the background every 5 minutes going, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
It'd be completely silent in our area, and all of a sudden I'd just hear Chas go,
Right. I know.
That's so funny. When someone pointed that out to me, I was just like, wow, that's, yeah.
I think totally that was me, because I think people were kind of looking at you.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure John Paloff could like hear you be like, who's that crazy bastard in the back?
Yeah, he's like...
It's going to be good this year. Paloff, Cressy, Boyle, and Prajesh again.
Yeah, it's always a good time. Very good. He does a great job with it.
Yeah, I always go back to that awesome... I completely lost my train of thought. Go ahead, John, and then we'll wrap this up.
Go ahead. I had nothing to say.
All right. This is the off topic. It sucked this week. See you next time.
Nice.